Hello and happy 2024. Before we start the episode, we just want to remind you guys to leave a rating and a review wherever you listen, especially if you've been a longtime listener. It really helps the show out and we really appreciate it. It's super simple. If you're not driving right now, go over to whatever app you're listening on, leave a rating and a review. On Spotify, it's just the 5-star rating system. And on Apple Podcasts, it is a star rating system as well as you can write a review. Both would mean so much to us. Thank you guys so much. We love you.
Welcome back to Real Talk About Feminism. It's Mackenzie and Haley coming to you. I always say Mackenzie, and I never actually call you Mackenzie.
I know. It's weird. It's like you're in professional mode.
I know.
I am not Mackenzie.
No, she's not. So are we officially... I feel like we need to change your name to Kenz on our
stuff. I know. It's so weird because, like, the way I introduce myself is Mackenzie to anybody.
Yeah.
But that's really not who I am. Like, that's not – like, people don't call me that unless I'm at work.
Yeah.
You know? You guys can call me whatever.
Yeah.
Well, Kenz. I prefer Kenz. Like, hey, wait. The haters are going to latch onto that.
Yeah. So let's not do that. But, yeah, welcome back to a new episode. We are excited to be here, as always. We hope your guys' week is going well. Hope everyone is feeling the good vibes and the positive energy of the new year. I mean, we're at the end of January, but we're finishing the end of the first month. Mm-hmm. So that's exciting.
Extremely fast.
It honestly did.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
We don't have many updates for you guys, but we are taking a little trip to Arizona in the next couple days to spend some time with family. So we're looking forward to that.
Yes, we are.
And looking forward to getting out of the cold weather.
I know. I didn't even think about that.
Oh my gosh. I'm so over it. Honestly, like after the big freeze, everything's been way better.
Yeah.
But it's still cold.
Yeah, it's cold. It's a cold winter.
Yeah.
But they predicted that. That was in like the Farmer's Almanac.
They did predict that.
Yeah.
I feel like that was just the beginning.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, because it's only January.
Yeah.
All right. Well, wish us luck.
Yeah.
But, yeah, honestly, like, no real updates. We've kind of just been, you know, in the grind, working.
Yeah. School started a couple weeks ago, and I have a couple classes left to finish up my prereqs, so not too bad, but it's still school.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. I, like, when everyone went back, I was like, ooh.
I know.
I'm glad. But, like, it's good. It's good to be in school.
Yeah.
But, yeah, like, I was like, oh, I'm glad I'm not. It's just, like, a lot to do.
Yeah. The only good thing that's come from it is setting up my 2024 planner and putting in all my, like, syllabus dates and everything.
We love that.
I love doing that.
Well, that's fun.
Low-key, that's my obsession, but it's not my obsession for this week. My actual obsession is my candles that I made.
Yes.
Because for Christmas on my list I had a candle making kit.
Mm-hmm.
And this is something that's on my vision board for this year as well, because it's a fun little hobby that I want to try. And yeah. I don't really care like truly how they turn out. They're just for me.
Yeah.
So it's just like a little bit of creativity, and I got some fun molds. So that's my obsession.
Yeah. When I took like FaceTime photos when you were like unveiling them, like taking them out of the mold.
Oh, cute.
And they were really cute because you guys were like so excited. But it looked fun.
It was really fun.
That would be fun. We should make Real Talk candles.
Cute.
That'd be really cute. We could put them like in the background.
Oh, that'd be cute.
But we're like never burn them.
No. I know. I can't bring myself to burn them.
But like you can just make more.
I know. But wax is surprisingly expensive. Yeah. FYI, if anyone's interested in candle making, it is very expensive.
Mm.
Like a 2-pound bag was like $30 for soy wax.
Mm. That's a lot.
It's a lot.
Dang.
Okay. But still fun.
Well, I love that. My obsession is very different. Now that I am back at the parents, I am obsessed with all the little animals. Like,
oh, I know.
Because I have G, obviously. Everyone knows G. But there's two cats here and then our dog, our childhood dog. And he's just, like, old and sweet and, like, just wants to be with people. And he's really cute. Like, he just likes to be babied.
He does.
And then the two cats, like, they just both have such different personalities. And they're different than G2. And so it's just, like, so cute. Like, it's I have so a different cute. Little relationship with each one.
I know. I love, like, especially when I work from home and I make my little rounds, like, before yeah. I start work. And I'm like, hi.
Yeah,
hi.
Like, every time I go somewhere, I'm, like, saying hi to, like, everyone that's I around. Know. Like, it's so cute.
They're so cute.
Yeah. So that's my obsession.
Having pets is fun. And it's it satisfying my need or – well, need, maybe that came out subconsciously, but like I've really been wanting a little puppy.
Oh yeah.
And Khalil's always like, just get one, you're living with your parents. And I'm like, you don't understand, they're not dog people anymore.
No, there's a lot of dog trauma. So
yeah, so I'm like, you know what, I don't even want that right now, truly. Mm-mm. I just want like a little thing to take care of, you know.
No,
my
dog.
Plants are not in my room anymore.
I know. So. I know, that's different. And yeah. Your fish.
I know. I have trauma from the fish.
Yeah.
That was very traumatic.
It's valid.
Yeah. Well, anyway. So it has been nice to live at home.
Yeah.
Well, today's feminist highlight is actually a man.
Slay.
But in honor of this episode, I really wanted to highlight someone from the LGBTQ+ community who is a fierce advocate and who has paved the way. Mm-hmm. And his name is Rustin Bayard. He advised Martin Luther King Jr. and he was a huge force for the civil rights movement. He was also openly gay and at one point was arrested for having sex in a car with a man. Mm. Very sad.
Yeah.
He organized the March on Washington, the infamous march wow. where Martin Luther King Jr. gave his I Have a Dream speech. He was a pacifist, and he was the one who really urged Martin Luther King Jr. to solidify nonviolence and focus on peaceful protests. And that then became the cornerstone of the civil rights movement. Like, that's what we think about, all the peaceful protests.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, his sexuality was often used against him, and he was often ousted from certain events and certain discussions. He died on August 24th, 1987, but his fight for nonviolence lived on among the countless people inspired by the 1963 March on Washington. In 2013, President Barack Obama posthumously awarded Rustin the Presidential Medal of Freedom for his unyielding career in civil rights activism. Aww. So that was a really great example of intersectionality.
Yeah.
Because he was a gay Black man mm-hmm. in the 1960s.
Yeah.
And was a fierce advocate for civil rights and for LGBTQ+ rights.
Yeah, multiple intersections at which he struggles. Like yeah. that people will come for him, you yeah. know, especially in that yeah. time period. I can't imagine how scary that would be to I mean for one, he knows that he can't be himself in many different aspects. It's just awful. But I'm glad that he got his recognition. Obviously, he had his, like, other recognition before the medal. But, like, I just think that is a meaningful thing.
Yeah.
So I love that Barack did that.
I know. I was like, of course. Yeah. Our president.
Our president. I know. I know. We're going to take a quick break to talk about our sponsor, BetterHelp.
It's 2023, and it's time to really prioritize our mental health this year. No matter where you are in life, everyone can benefit from therapy. Whether you need to work through trauma or just need a safe person to talk to, BetterHelp is here for you.
BetterHelp is the world's largest online therapy service. Get matched with a professional licensed therapist in your state who you can trust.
BetterHelp has options to communicate with your therapist via chat, email, or video, and you can message them at any time to get help.
BetterHelp is giving our listeners 10% off if you sign up using the link in our show notes.
If you're struggling with depression, anxiety, relationships, trauma, grief, or just need someone to talk to, try BetterHelp today by clicking the link in our show notes or go to betterhelp.com/RTAFpod to get 10% off today.
So that's going to segue us into our actual topic for today, which is all about trans legislation of 2023, because in 2023, it was a record-breaking year of anti-trans legislation. In total, there were 588 bills targeting trans people that were introduced, and 85 were passed to kind of lay the foundation. Now, this topic came to my mind after reading He, She, They, which I recently finished. It's by Skylar Baylor, one of my favorite trans creators and advocates and activists. Highly recommend reading, you guys.
It was good.
Very educational, literally for everybody. He had like a memoir style in certain chapters of speaking about his experiences, but he also had like an educational instruction manual for a lot of the book.
I also feel like he is really good at what he does because he says it how it is, but in the most loving way where like you don't feel
– no.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, like in the examples because he would pull out like real conversations he had with people at like live events or like on social media. Mm-hmm. And the way he goes about it is like, well, why is this making you so upset?
Yeah, and instead of just telling them this is how it should be, you need to think this way – he almost like he hears them out and then will explain like, okay, so this is where that's not necessarily correct. And, but it's
or
not
respectful. Like yeah, baseline.
Yeah. And it's not in like an aggressive way. I just like, it's just so, he's so good at what he does.
He really just wants to help people put into perspective how it is to live as a trans person. So he does go about it very loving, very non-judgmental. Like he said in the book, when he goes into those conversations, he knows that he's not trying to change anyone's mind. Mm-hmm. He's just trying to provide perspective.
Yeah.
So I really recommend reading that. All of this information that I got about all the trans bills are from translegislation.com, and they track every single national and state bill that targets transgender people in a negative way. In 2022, there were 174 bills introduced, with 26 being passed. And in 2021, there were 143 bills introduced, with 18 being passed. So as you can see, even from like 2022 to 2023, like they're double, like, triple.
Yeah, 400 plus more.
It's insane. Yeah. Dang. Yeah. So we can see the uptick in this happening. So I think it's really important to talk about it.
Yeah. And when you hear how like the increase in how many laws there were like from 2022 to 2023, there is no, and we haven't even gotten into it, mm-hmm. but there's no denying that trans people are under attack.
Yeah.
So that's another reason why we need to talk about this.
Yeah. One thing I want to say from Skylar, from he, she, they, he said he made a good point about like, why are we so pressed about these issues? Because he was like, we don't go around asking cis people what their genitals look like.
Right.
Or what genitals they have. Like, why is this such an invasion of privacy? Because that's what it is. Like, nobody would ever ask me that because I'm a cis-presenting mm-hmm. female.
Yeah.
So I think that also gives some perspective. Like, really, what is the big deal?
Yeah.
So there were 37 national bills introduced because most of them were state.
Okay.
So there were 37 national ones introduced. None of them passed.
Okay.
But these national bills, as well as the state bills, they mostly target healthcare, sports, and education.
Okay.
Those are like the main categories. Yep.
The big three.
I'm going to give a few examples of national bills. US HB 1399, which is the Protect Children's Innocence Act. And it said to amend Chapter 110 of Title 18, the United States Code, to prohibit gender-affirming care on minors and for other purposes. US HB 1064 is the Ensuring Military Readiness Act of 2023, and this is to provide requirements related to the eligibility of transgender individuals from serving in the armed forces. And lastly, US HB 216, which is called My Child, My Choice Act of 2023, and this is to prohibit federal education funds from being provided to elementary schools that do not require teachers to obtain written parental consent prior to teaching lessons specifically related to gender identity, sexual orientation, or transgender studies, and for other purposes.
You know that the people who introduced the My Child, My Choice Act thought they ate with that name.
My Child, My Choice.
Right? Like, you know.
It is also interesting to look through the bills because you can see everybody who sponsored them.
Oh.
And they are all Republicans. And I'm not saying that to like generalize, but there is a pattern. So that's something that I'm like super weary of when I'm voting because I hate the two-party system. I don't like voting for a Democratic candidate necessarily. I do not like voting for Republican candidates because our reproductive rights are under fire and overturned, and this and so many other social issues that I care about. Mm-hmm. But it was very interesting to see who sponsors it. Like, you can see the entire timeline of how long it took to be passed, if it was passed.
Oh, wow.
Very interesting to do research on.
Yeah.
So those were three national bills that, again, were not passed, but they stood out to me while I was doing some research.
Okay.
Now we're going to get into some state laws in 2023 that were actually passed. So these bills were introduced and then eventually passed in the state government.
So all of these that you're about to talk about are active laws.
Yes.
Or they are going to be.
Yes, they have passed. Okay. So whether they're enacted or not, because as I was doing research, I was realizing just because it passes doesn't mean it's necessarily enacted.
Okay.
But they've passed. Okay. So at any point, they can be enacted if they haven't already.
Okay.
And we have seen, like, if you pay attention to the news, like Florida, mm-hmm. that whole thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. You can see, like, bills are being enacted already.
Okay.
Okay. So I took these from a variety of states. I, again, pulled out the ones that stood out to me that I wanted to talk about. The first one is, I'm not going to read the numbers of the bills. I can put it in the show notes for you guys. But this was Arkansas's bathroom bill is the nickname. And it's concerning a public school district or open enrollment public charter school policy relating to a public school student's sex. So my interpretation of this, to put it in layman's terms, students must use the bathroom according to their sex assigned at birth.
Okay.
There is no, absolutely no wiggle room. If you identify as the sex that you were not assigned to at birth, you cannot use that bathroom.
So what's the problem with gender neutral bathrooms?
Right.
Like, you know, like a family restroom type thing. I'm not saying like, because I'm not saying that like we should just have all bathrooms be gender neutral. I understand people's wariness with that. But can we not just have like a family restroom that has one stall?
I think it should be required for every building to have a gender neutral bathroom.
Yeah.
For this reason, because there also might be some people who are not necessarily out.
Yeah.
And they're like, I don't feel like I can go into any bathroom. So I think that also creates another space for people.
Yeah.
Where you don't necessarily have to choose or like worry about people staring at you or making comments or anything.
Yeah.
The next one is another Arkansas bill. The name of the bill is to create the Given Name Act and to prohibit requiring employees of public schools and state-supported institutions of higher education to use a person's preferred pronoun, name, or title without parental consent. I'm going to expound on this. It grants courts, quote, temporary emergency jurisdiction over children in the state of Arkansas, if they are at risk of or are being subjected to the provision of sex reassignment prescriptions or procedures, otherwise known as gender-affirming care. It would also require licensed facilities to attest that they are not providing such treatments to patients under 18. People who violate the legislation could face criminal charges.
So they, teachers cannot use preferred name and pronoun.
Parental consent.
Okay.
And if they do, they could face criminal charges. There's a lot of aspects to this one as well, because it said that if a minor is undergoing any sort of gender-affirming care, mm-hmm. then the courts have emergency jurisdiction over them. Like, the courts could literally take the children from the parents' custody.
It's just crazy because, like, that – I feel like if you can't see what's wrong with that, like, that's
– that is crossing so many boundaries and violating so many rights.
Right. And even just violating the basic right of, like – I mean, I guess it's not, like, free speech, but, like, if someone wants – if someone asks a teacher to utilize their – like, even just a preferred name – they can't do that.
They ask that all the time. Yeah. I remember every first day, do you have a preferred name?
Yeah.
It has to have parental consent. I'm guessing only parental consent if it's the preferred name of the opposite gender, right?
Obviously, that's going to put so many trans youth in danger because there are a lot of parents that would not react to that. So that's either forcing trans youth to be possibly like put in danger or just forcing them to stay in the closet until they're 18.
Yeah, because even if their parents are like, yes, I support you 100%. Let's go do this. Let's get what you need. The parents could face criminal charges.
Yeah, that's...
And I'm like, that is your child. Like, yeah. You are doing your best to support your child and you're going to face criminal charges for that?
Yeah, that is... I can't believe that passed.
It's not okay. And Arkansas is not the only state to have that.
Okay. Well, that's disappointing.
Very disappointing. The next one is an Idaho bill. The title is Amends Existing Law to Provide That a Public Works Contractor Shall Not Be Required to Provide Access to a Multi-Occupancy Restroom, Multi-Occupancy Shower Facility, or Multi-Occupancy Changing Room on any other basis other than sex. So we talked about the gender-neutral bathrooms. Mm-hmm. In my interpretation, that is they do not have to have a gender-neutral restroom.
Or like changing rooms.
They
or...
can have male and female. That's it, by law.
So then, like, why are we taking rights away from the business owners? Like, it's just, it's all too much control from the government.
Mm-hmm.
Because, like, in this situation, you're taking away the rights of the business owners to do what they want with their bathroom situation or changing room situation or whatever. And then the last one, there's so many rights taken away. Like, how is this allowed?
It's a lot.
Okay.
It's really scary.
Yeah.
The next one is an Indiana bill. It's called Gender Transition Procedures for Minors. Gender Transition Procedures for Minors prohibits a physician or other practitioner from, one, knowingly providing gender transition procedures to an individual who is less than 18 years of age, and two, aiding or abetting another physician or practitioner in the provision of gender transition procedures to a minor. It specifies certain medical exceptions, but like that doesn't really make it any better.
So that's basically like when they overturned Roe v. Wade, how like they can charge physicians with aiding and abetting. Yep. Like that's kind of the same.
Aiding and abetting, you guys.
I know. I'm like, this sounds so like
criminal. You're such a bad person, right? For caring about somebody who wants to express their gender identity.
Yeah.
It's crazy. It's really scary.
Yeah.
Because there are, I read a news story as I was doing research about this mom who traveled with her transgender son all the way. It was like 5 hours away. I think it was like Ohio Children's Hospital or something. Mm-hmm. To get gender affirming care.
Yeah.
And that's not sustainable and it's not fair.
It's not.
The next one is a Montana bill. It prohibits minors from attending drag shows. Like, that's what we're worried about, really. Not the gun violence or our reproductive rights as women or
the wars going on.
Literally, like, we are that concerned.
Yeah, I'm like, again, I understand, like, specific businesses at the local level making it like, oh, minors can't come to a drag show. Like, that's different. If that's the business's decision.
Which is stupid, but yeah.
Yeah. But if that's the business's decision, like that's on them. But why are we like making these big decisions completely taking away our rights to go to a show?
Yeah. It's literally just the stigma associated with it.
Yeah.
The next one is a Tennessee bill. It's an act to amend Tennessee Code. I'm not going to read the numbers. Again, I'll put it in the show notes. As enacted, limits the ability of a student enrolled in a private school to participate in an interscholastic athletic activity or event to such activity or event where a membership in the Tennessee Secondary School Athletic Association is required in accordance with the student's immutable biological sex as determined by anatomy and genetics existing at the time of birth. So again, prohibiting kids from being kids,
mm-hmm.
and not being able to participate in sports. Because if you are in high school, if you're a high school student,
mm-hmm.
and you're transgender and you want to play on the team that you identify with, but you can't, you're just not going to play,
mm-hmm.
probably.
Yeah.
And there's so much evidence that shows how good sports are for kids. Mm-hmm. And so, again, it's a huge decision that the government is just making.
Yeah. I don't understand how that's...
I don't understand that.
Allowed. I thought we were free in America. We're not.
We've long established this. Yeah. The next one is a Utah bill. Birth certificate modifications. It denies minors from making changes on their birth certificate. This feels complicated to me because there's a lot of things that minors can't do.
Yeah, I mean, I get that one.
And I don't know, but I don't know if before minors could go make changes. I don't think so.
I think they have to have parental.
Okay.
Approval or whatever.
Which makes sense, but then why make that bill?
I don't know.
But again,
just further restriction.
Again, it's another barrier to trans people being able to fully express their identity. Mm-hmm. And that's a really important step for a lot of people.
Yeah.
Like I saw Dylan Mulvaney's video about changing her passport picture and how it like really felt full circle. Mm-hmm. So changing the legal documents is an important step for a lot of people.
Yeah.
The last one is a Louisiana bill, and it prohibits certain procedures to alter the sex of a minor child. Again, just taking away the gender-affirming care.
Yeah.
So those ones I feel like gave a pretty good overview of just some of the ones that were passed, and a lot of them are very similar. So a lot of them focus on like the lack of support and mm-hmm. lack of gender-affirming care options for minors. Mm-hmm. I want to close with, again, talking about something that Skylar Baylor had said. I listened to a podcast episode mm-hmm. with him and Victoria Garrick Brown, now that she's married. But this episode really helped me with my perspective on trans athletes.
Me too.
And I really enjoyed it because I'd never heard the issue presented in this way, and it completely makes sense. And since the biggest focus about trans rights and trans issues is sports, mm-hmm. I wanted to just take the last few minutes to talk about that.
Yeah.
So if you go to Skylar's website, a lot of great resources. He has an entire page on the website dedicated to trans athletes and why it's such an issue mm-hmm. and providing some insight on that. And I wanted to share what is on the website. And it says, at the most elite level, the Olympics, the International Olympic Committee, which is focused on non-discrimination and the well-being of transgender and intersex athletes, removed genital surgery as a requirement for competition in 2016. This was also coupled with hormone regulation guidelines. They respect the privacy of athletes who are transgender or have sex variations. Because a big part of this as well is that there are a lot of people who are born intersex.
Yeah.
And sex is just assigned at birth, depending on what it most likely looks like.
Yeah.
And so there's a lot of people who were like, well, mine doesn't look like that.
Yeah.
You know, and I can't imagine how that feels. But like those people are also pushed out of sports and pushed out of other locations and things. Mm-hmm. So I wanted to point that out because it is such a heated topic.
Yeah.
But if literally the most elite level of athletics that you can attain has taken away these requirements, mm-hmm. then I think that says a lot.
I do too. Yeah, I would highly recommend listening to just like look up Skylar Baylor and
Victoria. I'm putting his Instagram in the
yeah, in the but show like notes. Any resources that he shares are amazing. That episode with Victoria Garrick, that's the only episode I've listened to of her podcast, but you had sent it to me. Mm-hmm. And that was like very perspective changing. So yeah, I highly recommend.
Yeah, definitely. He's a great resource. Another great resource that I want to share is One Colorado. They do a lot of great work with advocacy. They're the leading organization in Colorado dedicated to advancing equality for LGBTQ plus Coloradans and their families. Even if you're not in Colorado, they have a lot of great information and education and resources. So I recommend further educating yourself, maybe reading Skylar's new book or looking up other trans creators who can share their perspective on how it is to live as one of them.
Yeah. Well, thank you. I think that's very insightful. Hearing numbers is very eye-opening. So yeah, let's just remember to support the trans people around us. And like, honestly, if you're an ally, go and look up how you can support trans people. There's nothing wrong with that. Mm-hmm. But yeah, overall, I think this is really good to raise awareness. And obviously, there trans people are under attack, and we need to bring awareness to that, and we need to support them.
Yes, very obviously, after hearing those numbers.
Yeah.
So let's all just be good people and respect people's pronouns and how they want to be identified right. as, and go through this world, because that's all that anybody wants.
Yeah, and respecting someone's gender identity and someone's pronouns does not affect your personal life in any way, but it greatly impacts someone else's life. So yeah, let's just remember that, to step outside of ourselves and really think about the impact of just even something like pronouns yeah. have.
Yeah.
We're well, like lecture mode.
No, literally, I'm like, I could really go off right now, but I won't.
We won't.
You guys know how we feel about this.
Yeah.
Just be a good person and go to all the links in our show notes. Connect with us on socials. You can still join book club if you would like. And we'll see you next week.
Bye, guys.
Bye.